of Pastor Don and the team and what they're doing over there. And it's always a blessing. My experience in going on a mission trip is that no one comes back the same person. And I remember that when I was in the islands, I was a recipient of works of mission trips. And then there came a time in our life when we were here, we were able to go back and be a part of a mission trip. When we were able to make stop in St. Vincent, St. Lucia, and Barbados. And but it's always always a blessing. If you have your Bibles, I would like for you to turn to the book of Daniel. And for those who are fairly new with us, or guests, we are in a series on heroes of faith. And today we are going to be focusing on Daniel. Daniel is one of my favorite Old Testament characters. And we are going to see that the unshakable Daniel would not bend, he would not bow, and he would not burn. So, three B's, easy to remember. And there's so much in the book of Daniel that we are not going to be able to cover everything that's in here. But I hope that the time we spend this morning, that I will able to do justice to Daniel and to what is being presented to us. Have you ever been in a situation where you were talking to a friend, a brother, a sister, maybe a co-worker or a boss, in hopes that you would be able to change their mind or to take a different position or to do something? And then you came back and someone asked you, well, how did it go? Oh, and the response, he or she was as stubborn as a mule. I couldn't shake him. He wouldn't move. I couldn't do anything to change that person's mind. But wouldn't it be great if that is being said of us because of our faith in Jesus Christ, that we are not going to move from where we are at, but that we will continue to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. We would stand firm and dig our heels in, and that no one can move us from that. We need to keep in mind as we go through this teaching that nothing is impossible with God. Amen. Can you say that with me? Amen. Nothing is impossible with God. And so let me give you a little background of what's taking place here, and so you will have a better understanding of what we'll be looking at. King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, he was feared by many nations around the area. When King Nebuchadnezzar decided that he was going to make a raid to any other nation, it was almost certain victory that he was going to win. He was going to take over with everything that he wanted. And so he captured the city of Jerusalem, and he took the men and the women captives to Babylon. They took their worship articles from the temple, whatever those articles were, and they put them in their temple. And so they were forced into a new culture. They were forced to be in boot camp for at least 3 years. And so the whole thing is that they did not capture them, but they desecrated, which was most important to Daniel, they desecrated the place of worship, the temple of God. So, first of all, we're going to see the Daniel who would not bend. And what I'm going to do, instead of reading the whole passage of chapter 1, I'll make reference to the scripture as we go along. So Daniel chapter 1 in verse 3 and 4. He says, "Then the king ordered Aspenaz, chief of his court official, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and from the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's place. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians." In other words, he is to, in a way, indoctrinate them in the way of the Babylonians. Another way of putting that is that they were to be brainwashed into a new teaching, into a new culture, into a new everything. Now, I don't believe that Daniel and his friends, they tried to buck that system. They probably went to the classes. They listened very carefully to what they were saying, and they were not rude or disrespectful or anything like that. But they did not change their belief system, what they believe in. They came out of Judah in Jerusalem into Babylonian, but they did not leave their God or the teaching or the belief system. That they did not move. They did not bend to the new language and literature. They could have said, "We know this all sounds great, and maybe we could probably bend a little bit, you know, to their ways." But Daniel says, "No, we're not going to do that." That was not the only thing, but their meal was regimented. In verse 5, "The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter into the king's service. So for 3 years, they should be on a special diet." Now, I want to imagine that this was a spread. I mean, you name it, it was there. Soup and salad and all kinds of fruits, choice of meat, beef, mutton, maybe some goat. But that's what they did, farming in those days. But you name it, and they had everything. The whole idea of the king was to fatten up these guys and make them look healthy and strong, so when they come before him, he would have no question that they were well fed and taken care of. So that was the whole situation. Now, we have been on quite a few cruises, but we have never been to the midnight buffet that they have had. We have never gone. I go to my bed and I was sleeping, you know. But I could imagine the spread they had.
It won't take 3 years at that rate.
Yeah, that is true. He was given a new name. In verse 6, it says, "Among these were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, he named Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego." Now, they probably didn't have a choice. They were given new names. But can you imagine that they probably called them by their new name and they didn't answer? And the official probably says, "Hey, you three guys, I'm talking to you. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize you're talking to me," because of their new name. But they give them new names. Now, these Hebrew names, in case you have problem remembering the three Hebrew boys, here is a simple way of reminding you, or to help you to remember. Shadrach, think about shake your bed. Okay, Meshach, make your bed, and Abednego, abed you go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Abednego. Easy way to remember that. Okay. He decided not to defile himself with the spread that they had. And in verse 8 it says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now, he was nice about it. He was not rude. He wasn't disrespectful. He asked permission from the chief official, and he was bold in his request. Now, generally, when you're the new kid on the block, you don't go about telling the official what they need to do, okay? Or even to change their meal or whatever and to give them what they want. This is to say is that don't be afraid to make your requests known. What is the worst thing that can happen? Someone saying no, okay? Or maybe you may have your request granted, you never know. But make your request granted. So he was granted favor from the official. Not fully, but close to it. Look at verses 9 and 10. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why he see you looking worse than the other men of your age, the king would then have my head because of you. He was concerned about all that was going to happen. And so it looks like at first that the answer was going to be no, but Daniel was ready that he was not going to take no for an answer. He was going to go after and make it known to the official that this is what he would like to have. Say that to say that sometimes we give up so easily. Something happened to us, and instead of taking it to God, and instead of pursuing it, we just said, okay, I'm not fighting anymore, I'm giving up. But folks, I want to encourage you that we don't have to give up. We don't have to bow down so easily. We don't have to say, well, yes, this is the way it's going to be. And so Daniel persisted in his conviction. And look with me at verse 11 to 14. And it says this, Daniel said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who ate the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. Now, you know that word pretty or please? Parents, parents, we know how far those words can go, especially when the child comes to you and they say please or pretty please, and they have this this look on their face that you can't resist. Well, Daniel said, please, pretty please, test us for 10 days with vegetable and water. What were the results? He says, give us nothing but vegetables and water for 10 days. Why was Daniel so confident? Why was he so certain that something was going to happen, that God was going to honor their faith and their stand? And folks, there is only one thing that we can think about, is because of their faith and their trust in the God that they knew and still believe in when they were in Judah. Now they were in Babylon and they still believe in the same God, the God who will see them through. So the official agreed. And this was, by the way, unknowing to the king. The king did not know what the official was doing, but he probably showed favor. So then, what was the results of all of this? Look at verse 15 and 17, 15 through 17. At the end of the 10 day, they look healthier, better nourished than any of the young men who ate royal food. So the guard took away the choice food and the wine that they drank and gave it to them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge, understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams in all kinds. Folks, you see what is happening here? Is that after the 10 days that they were not only healthier and better nourished, but all the knowledge and everything that was accompanied them, Daniel was able to have to see visions and to have more knowledge. But guess what this created? This created a problem within the camp. Houston, we have a problem. Can you imagine that when the official was not looking, all the mean faces that were looking at Daniel with a clenched fist and says, we're going to get you because it's because of you that the official is taking away the food from the king's table and giving us vegetables and water. Because the official realized if vegetables and water could make you healthier and stronger and having all the knowledge, well, maybe these other guys will probably be the same thing. And so they had an issue that they had to deal with. So Daniel then was presented to the king with his friends after the time, which was 3 years. And look what happened in verse 18 and 20. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. No one. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. Can you imagine that these guys, I mean, they did that 10 times better than all the rest of them. So Daniel would not bend, but Daniel would not bow either. He will not bow. He did not take whatever was coming his way. He did not take that sitting down. He did not bow down that this is what the king says and this is what the king wants. And so this is what is going to be. But here is the situation. The king had a dream, a terrible dream. He was distressed. He was worried. He could not sleep. And so he called all the magicians and the enchanters and the sorcerers and the astrologers. He called them in and he says, look, tell me what this is all about. And so they responded and said that, you know, if you tell us the dream, we might be able to tell you what the interpretation is. But the king says, no, you have to tell me the whole thing. And they could not. And so what happened is, the king ordered to put them to death along with Daniel and his four friends. No one to be spared. So Daniel said, you know what, I'm not going to take this sitting down. And he knew that his life was also at stake. And so he intervened on behalf of the wise men. Look at chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Then Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel, what was really happening. Now, we would say, is this guy crazy or what? Because his life was on the stake. Arioch was responsible to take him down, and now he is intervening on behalf of the wise men, all of them. And so he requested with that meeting that he would, or he would like to see the king. But first, let me mention this, that Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. You know, folks, when we have a situation, do we pray and ask God that, God, give me the words to say, give me the words to speak in this situation? Wisdom and tact, so you could win the other person over. For example, a simple thing like, instead of the preacher's wife telling him that your sermon was terrible this morning, I don't know what you did, you could say something, you look good behind the pulpit. Wisdom and tact. Okay? And that's what he did. So Daniel asked to speak to the king, and Arioch said to Daniel, you realize that I'm supposed to kill you, and you are right here in my presence. And so he asked again, time that he might interpret the dream of the king, that he will tell the king what the dream was all about, and then to interpret that dream. Now, keep in mind that at this time, Daniel did not know what the dream was all about, nor the interpretation. He did not know. But he did ask for time so that he can come up with this. You know, folks, we don't have to be afraid of power and authority. What we need to do is to respect power and authority. You know, what comes to mind right now, I remember Jonathan going before his father, King Saul, and he says, "Dad, why are you after David? Why do you want to kill him?" In those days, a son, you don't talk to your dad like that, especially if he's the king. But he respected authority, he wasn't afraid of it, and he went and presented that case. Now, Daniel left the king's chamber, and he went straight to his friends, and this is what he said to them in verse 17 and 18. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that him or he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the men of Babylon. Have you prayed about your problem as much as you have talked about it? Have you gone to God and says, "God, this is my situation"? But here is another way of looking at it. He said, "Okay, go ahead, Talk as much as you want about your problem, but give equal time to praying about it. So if you're going to complain all week about it, half an hour a day, or whatever the case may be, well then, pray the same amount of time about the situation and see what's going to happen. And so he prayed. And like I said, when Daniel went before the king, he did not know what the dream was or what the interpretation was going to be. And so guess what? The next day, the mystery was revealed to Daniel because he went to his friends and they all prayed about the situation. And you know, folks, our situation might also change when we take it to God in prayer. And so, in verse 19, during the night, okay, it was probably less than a day. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised God of heaven, and he said, and we're going to look at the prayer and the praise. But after that, after the prayer, all of that was revealed to Daniel. You know, folks, it will amaze you when we go to God with any situation or circumstance that we have, that the wisdom and the knowledge He is going to give to us to make a response to the situation that we are in. And then Daniel praised God, and I like to read that praise to you. It's so touching what Daniel had to say, praising God. And you know, folks, we need to praise God more. We need to praise Him more. Even in the smallest of things, let's praise Him more. This scripture is probably not on the PowerPoint, but let me, it's verse 20 to 23. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in the darkness, and light dwells in Him. I thank and praise You, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we ask of You. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Daniel, praise God. You know, many times when I'm driving on the road, it might be something simple. Something may happen, or if I had probably been there a second, 2 seconds sooner, what could have happened? And you say, thank God. But you also pray, Lord, I also pray, Lord, I ask that You will protect those people in the accident, that You will save lives. But we need to give God praise and thanks. Daniel would not burn. You said, well, sure, he was not burned because he was not in the furnace. And we're going to come back to that in just a little bit. But after all of this, Daniel was promoted. And this is in verse 48. Daniel was promoted in chapter 2 and verse 48. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all the wise men because of his wisdom and because of the God he served. But not only that, his friends were promoted in verse 49. You know, it's good to know people in high places. So, and so Daniel said, hey, I have my three buddies here. You know, what can you do something for them? And he made them in verse 14. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained in the royal court. but his friends was also promoted. The king set up a golden image, and they call a meeting with every single solitary person in that area, call it an arena or whatever. And he said that all those who hear the sound of the music, that they are to bow down and worship. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to do that. And let me read you chapter 3, verse 8 to 12. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the song of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And that whosoever does not fall and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have appointed. You see the subtleness of this attacking the king, which you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who paid no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold that you have set up. And that's what the friends, they refused to do. And so they were called in before the king and said, do you realize the penalty for this? And I like this so much in verse 15 and 16. Now when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a burning furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? And folks, listen to this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego reply to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. What determination, what confidence that they had in the God that they serve. At this time in verse 19 and 23, the king's rage, he was a 38 hot. He said, guys, I want you to heat up the furnace 7 times hotter. I want you to do whatever you can. And these guys are going to pay the consequences. And that we find that in verse 19 through 23. And his friends in verse 24 to 30, let me just read that for you. It says, then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that we tied up and throw into the fire? They reply, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most God High, come out, come here. They walk out. The scripture continued to say that they did not even smell like smoke. Have you ever been camping and got a little bit too close to the fire and the hair on your hand got singed and you knew immediately that something happened? Not even a smell of smoke. God delivered them from the fiery furnace. Let me get back to the fact that Daniel was not born. Because of Daniel's position, the province of Babylon, he did not have to be in the general population. But if chances were that if he had to be in the general population, he would be standing alongside his friends, standing for the God that they believe in. And folks, check this out, that if Daniel had been in the regular population, there would have been 5 men in the fiery furnace. Have you ever thought about that? There would be 5 of them. The 3 Hebrew boys, and Daniel, and Jesus Christ. Now, we are looking into the Old Testament, and he's talking about the Son of Man. Turn with me to John chapter 1. And this is not on the PowerPoint. I just want you to show you something. How God is great. There is no one like Him. It says in John 1:1 and onward, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." Jesus Christ already existed, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there was a time when God chose to help Him or to make Him known to us in the form of flesh. And then look at verse 14. "The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." As we leave here this morning, let's keep in mind that there is nothing impossible for God to do. I don't know what your situation might be. I don't know what you are facing in your life at this time. But I want you to believe that there is nothing impossible for God to do, and do not compromise your faith or your conviction. Remain true and faithful. Stand firm, and God will be true and faithful to you as He was with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Aren't you glad you serve a great God?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ came and that right now the Bible says that He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for all of us, calling you by name and telling His Father about your situation? There is nothing impossible for God to do. Just continue to hang in there. Dig your heels in, stand firm, and your God will be faithful to you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You, O God, that You are the same God of yesterday, today, and forever.
The God of
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of the Old Testament and the New Testament. The God who was with the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. And the God who is standing with us even today. We thank You. And I pray, O God, that You will even just now increase our faith in You that there will be no doubt in our hearts, in our lives, of what you can do for us. Thank you. Thank you, God. I pray, O God, that you would continue to help us to grow, to mature, to move to the next level in our Christian walk with you. Thank you, Jesus. If the worship team will come up, they're going to lead us. If you need prayer this morning, if God has touched your heart in any way, and you just want us to pray for you,